Welcome to the Level Design Podcast with Scott Zern, professional engineer with over three decades of experience and founder of Level Design Partners, a for-benefit company striving to bring prosperity to the design professional. Check out what they're up to at leveldesignpartners.com. This podcast will be exploring the ins and outs of the design industry, bringing new thinking to outdated systems, and aiming to restore value and honor to the unique people who choose to be designers, engineers, and architects. We'll be discussing how you can thrive in this industry by creating more freedom, flexibility, and financial security as a design professional, regardless of your current situation.
All right, welcome this morning. Our podcast this morning is going to be a little bit different than typical. I have asked Wade Williams, Axiom Inspections CEO, founder, amazing. I'm always at awe of you. You're here and you brought an entourage, if you can say hi. And who else is with us?
Yeah, great, Scott. Thanks for having us here today. Look forward to diving into this. And
we're going to arm wrestle over this whole topic today is what we're going to
do. We are. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Actually, we're probably going to agree, I bet, on the other side of it. But yeah. So who else is here?
Hi, I'm Melissa Ryland, Director of Marketing with Axiom Inspections. And we also have Zachary Efren and Lauren Sappington, who are marketing managers with Axiom.
I am outnumbered. So I look at your website, and you guys are like, this is a little bit staggering. So this is, you're all over the country. You've got over 100,000 inspections.
We're actually over 185,000 inspections now, and we're in 25 markets around the country, 12 states, and expanding weekly. We're bringing on new opportunities and new partners nationwide, and really looking forward to being...
What do you cover? What are you inspecting?
So currently we're doing, majority of our work is residential homes during the buy-sell process. That's
personal
probably...
major asset for most of us, right?
That is, yeah. It's going to be the number one investment most people's make in their lives. So it's a pretty important job for us to come in there and let them know what they're buying at the time of the purchase.
Right. I got a crazy fact for you. Do you know each of us as taxpayers, we own more in infrastructure value than we do our personal assets, our personal home? So you own more infrastructure than you do your personal home. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but that is interesting. And if you do stop and think about it a little bit,
it's
a combination of your roads and your sewer lines and your water mains,
yeah,
electrical mains,
utilities, yeah. Let's talk about inspection. You're inspecting everything, plumbing, electrical, and all these things. Oh, I got a question. How would you explain what you guys do and why? Why are we in this activity at all? How did this even come to be?
You know, so there wasn't inspections for a long time. People just purchased properties. They had no idea what the condition of these properties were. It really didn't start until around the 1970s when FHA got involved with backing loans for houses.
Oh.
And they actually wanted, before they would guarantee the loans, that they wanted someone to come in and guarantee or inspect or certify the roof, the foundation, electrical, plumbing, and mechanical systems in a home.
Why do you suppose they did that?
At the time, there was interest rates were pretty high in the 69, 70s, and a lot of defaults on loans.
Okay.
And a lot of banks were not financing people, and that's where the federal government had to actually step in and assist. And since they were doing that, they were trying to limit their risk.
Oh, got it.
And so inspecting for mortgage companies or banks...
Like everything else, it's the bank system that drives a lot of what we...
It did. That's where it really got started. And at the time, agents... to meet this criteria, we're hiring a plumber, an electrician, a structural engineer like yourself, to come in there and do each one of these certifications. And as you know, it takes time, takes a lot more money, and it's a whole much larger process. So that really started the need of a single person home inspector to come in.
Okay.
That could do all of these inspections at one time.
Okay. Keep going.
So as this started evolving over those few years, then people just started coming in to become that and would do those certifications. 1974 is when the ASHI was formed, which is the American Association of Home Inspectors. They needed some standard because now you had all these random contractors running around doing certifications, inspections.
Home inspectors are running around.
Correct. Are okay. people calling themselves home inspectors.
Okay.
Running around without any type of standards or practice of any type.
Is this government agency regulated or is this a private agency?
This is a private agency. There is no government agency.
They decided, for home inspectors. We're running amok. Let's create our own
regulatory body at that point where we could set some standards where people know what we're supposed to inspect, what would be included in this inspection.
This is interesting. So through the banking system drives some kind of federal insurance program for mortgages. And there's that activity going on. And then they say, well, you have to get an inspection. Private sector reacts with a bunch of individuals. And then, but the feds or a national program doesn't decide to regulate it. It self-regulates.
That is correct.
It's interesting. Okay.
Yep. And so they didn't actually get state regulated or government regulated until 1986.
Wow.
So it was privately regulated through ASHI, which is still one of the largest organizations and oldest regulations for home inspections today.
Okay. I get this reaction. I know you get this reaction. A home inspector shows up. And well, for whatever reason, there's upset. They go, well, who educates these inspectors and who's checking on them? I think this is just some guy off the street that doesn't know what he's doing, or he or she doesn't know what they're doing. Who are these people and who makes sure they're qualified?
So in 30 states in the country, they are licensed in the state. So there is some licensing now.
Oh.
So it grew from 1986 in Texas, which was the first one, and it's still the highest regulated state. Now about 30 states have also joined in with licensing in those states. So there's still roughly 20 states, including Colorado, where we're at, that are unlicensed. And so now it's the private associations that try and set these. So we have ASHI as well as InterNACHI, the National Association of Certified Home Inspectors, that regulate, set the standards, and really try and self-regulate. So they do the education, they do your continuing education annually, as well as set the standards of what we're supposed to follow on each and every inspection.
What motivates this group?
That is a great question. So if you talk to the individual, you know, a lot of them are the president of ASHI, you know, was a former home inspector. I think everyone on the board is former home inspectors. Okay. So trying to elevate the industry and not just be that contractor. We hear the stories all the time. The horror stories on a home inspector that missed something in my home that didn't do it. Really, when I talk to those groups and I'm on a couple of the boards, it is to elevate the industry. So we are professional. So it is a professional industry like engineers. Even if we're not regulated, we're self-regulated and we know that we're educated, we're professionally trained, we go by the professional SOPs and we do have some backing. And that's where their certifications come in. They say at least we have a minimal backing. There's a national home inspection exam. So we can all at least have a baseline.
Fascinating to me. So let me talk about this real quickly. Yeah. They want to elevate the industry. For profit, or for integrity, or for both?
So on the associations, they're nonprofit organizations. And so they're elevating the industry for the integrity of the industry. But of course, from a home inspection business owner aspect as well, we'd like to elevate that for profit as well. We don't want to be the bottom of the barrel in the real estate transaction where you can hire an inspector for $99 and take what they give. And so we do want to elevate it up where it can be profitable, where someone can go out there and charge a fair rate and make a living at this, where you're not then relying on the people who take an online course and then go out there and call themselves a home inspector.
This is important. How many people in the world know that the regulatory agency that sets standards is actually trying to educate the inspection activity for private sector transactions is actually a nonprofit?
Probably not a lot.
Probably not a lot. No. I didn't know that. There's a need in society, and I'm a capitalist person. I mean, I have nonprofits and all that stuff, but I believe in capitalism. So if there's a private sector need that there's transactions going between properties, and the banking industry says you need to have an inspection to make sure that we're not securing or paying or giving a loan for something that doesn't have the value that the market says it does, right? Basically, that's what we're doing as inspectors. We're going, all right, the realtor said this thing's worth, the market said this thing's worth $1 million. we come in and go, yeah, there's $500,000 in problems too. That's what the bank's asking for, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, just to clarify, the banks don't actually ask for this anymore. So they started asking for it in 1960, but right now, most of the banks don't. So only if it's a government-backed loan, like a VA loan, HUD, FHA.
How do you feel about that?
But most banks do not even require this. They don't look at the condition of the home. They rely on an appraisal, which is a very micro inspection of the home, almost a drive-by inspection at times to get a general value that the house is still standing up and has a roof. And then they do a comparison analysis in the neighborhood to see what the going rate for the homes are. So it would be great if the banks and mortgage companies did ask for home inspections.
I suspect
and
they will.
Did start backing the loans. They did start looking at that a lot more in 2008 during the housing market crash. Because they did finance all these homes and they had no idea what they were financing at the time. And they did change a lot of the regulations and heavily regulate appraisals.
Okay.
So as an appraiser at that time, you could write loans on anything. The appraisers would ask you, what was the value of the home? What are you paying for the home? And they would make the appraisal pretty much match. So it wasn't regulated and there was a lot of stuff going on, overinflated prices of houses. And I think that's where the housing bubble came in there. That got regulated, but the home inspection still did not get regulated at that time. We're really looking, especially with the housing market the way it is right now, with it escalating, that the values of homes are increasing dramatically and the loans and the mortgages on these, that we would think at some point that the mortgage companies would want to know what the true value of that home and the condition of that home might be.
All right, let's go back to our model. So the private sector is saying, okay, we need this service. So you and me, well, I was a little bit different. It was passive, but for you, you create a company to serve these requests. Right. And there's this opportunity and you can come in and be the person in a pickup that's not very well trained. You could decide that as a business person, just say, I'm just going to come in, offer really low prices. I'm going to hire a bunch of people that aren't very qualified. I'm going to undercut everybody. Or you could come in and go, no, actually, my business model is going to be, I'm going to be this high end, work hard, build systems that really, really provide a good service to this request from the private sector, right?
Yeah.
So you're making a business decision about that. And then you have this agency, which is a nonprofit, says, we educate, we set standards, and you go, that's I'm going to embrace that entity, and I'm going to actually participate in elevating it.
That is correct.
On
yep.
board, you're sitting on boards, et cetera. So,
yeah. And so getting started in that, I mean, I have firsthand knowledge of how important a home inspection is. So now we're really working, not for the bank, not for the government, not for the real estate agent, but for the home buyer. Like I said, that's the majority of our clients, to help protect them in mm-hmm. their purchase. Mm-hmm. And when I first got started, it was actually my very first residential home that I purchased. And I had a home inspection. And they told me it was a great home. And the home literally fell down.
What?
So 1894 Victorian home, 5 points in Denver.
In Denver.
Literally over excavated the cellar to make more room down underneath the home.
Undermined it.
Undermined right up to the old brick foundation wall. Heavy rains in the spring. And literally the two layers of brick on the outside wall fell into the basement, all the way up to the roof line through the second story.
Holy cow.
They literally thought the whole house is going to fall down.
Collapse scenario.
Yes. And that could something that could have very been easily should have been caught by the home inspector during
sure.
that. It's within the standards
sure.
To be able to identify that if they were properly trained and a professional home inspector. And at that time, I was like, I think I could do a better job than the home inspector that I hired, and uh-huh. I could do a better job for myself and my own investment group.
What was
at
your
that
reaction
time?
When this happened?
I wish there was a video camera of that because I was in the house when it happened. I was actually upstairs and walked down the stairs and could see outside the house.
Okay, so this is a motivational moment for you.
It was almost a life-changing moment because it did change the direction that I went. From doing just construction and real estate investment into, hey, I can become a home inspector. And I can help other people not enter the same situation that I'm in right now. And so that's the way I got started as a home inspector, inspecting first my own houses as I was purchasing and renovating and building. But now I'm able to help other people. And we see so many first-time home buyers come in that have been renting their entire life and know nothing about a home or the maintenance on a home or the condition of a home or what it's supposed to be. And we can really educate them and help protect them, because there's no one really on in the real estate transaction that is helping protect them during this time.
Gut check. I'm going to bring your staff in real quick. All right. So this leader you guys have, what would you think drives this leader of yours day to day? Is it helping people? What do you guys think?
I'm going to refer to Zach, because Zach said something once about Wade that it stuck with me. And he said, I have never met anybody who has such a thirst for knowledge and information. And it's really impressive. And he really works hard and is constantly just absorbing and kind of moving and thinking one step ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, but why? Why is he doing that? Do you think he likes to help people?
I think he likes to help people, and I think that he likes to have knowledge, and I think that drives him.
Yeah.
And when I started the company, it was just me, and I started. Really started seeing as I was hiring new inspectors. This is really, really got in. I knew I could help people. I knew I could do a great job.
Right.
I knew if someone bought one of my home inspections, I had no question that they were buying a great house. You know, I'd inspect it for my mom, my daughter, my brother.
Yeah.
Right. And they could trust that.
Right.
And then once you brought in other employees and other inspectors.
Hallelujah. I have the same issue.
How do you keep that quality control? How do you know that now you're putting your name on that? How do you know they're able to provide that same service and help the individuals that they're doing? Or are they letting them down? Are they missing those things?
Right.
And now they're going to become one of those quote unquote home inspectors that are just going through it for the paycheck and not actually trying to help people and do it. And so I jumped through. So I really dove into that with learning about the industry, learning of how we can put systems and controls in place. We actually wrote our own software. We were the first inspection company that had dedicated software to the iPhone when it came out. And the purpose of that is to require a very systematic control over the inspection. So we took the InterNACHI standards of practice one step further. Mm-hmm. And we actually have our Axiom standards currently, which go above and beyond what the InterNACHI standards do. So those are the baseline, almost like the building codes are a very baseline of what you must do to build something.
You went as a business person, you're like, wait a minute, I have confidence I'm helping people. And I have this same issue with my company. I have confidence when I do it. And I bring 40 years of knowledge and all this, that I'm actually doing a really good service for this client. And I feel good about it. And I'm like, you know, there's this, there's that, you know, here's a potential problem. And then you're like, well, I'm going to hire somebody and I'm not there. And so how can I educate? How can I train and build systems so they can do an equally good job? And so what motivated you went above and beyond, basically, I feel like, you tell me if I'm wrong, to have those assurances that, okay, I know my people are now performing a service to a client to assure that they're being properly informed, right?
That is correct, yep.
Was that free, developing that software?
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
So, spent a lot of money
developing
that. And putting the things where, you know, it prompts and it reminds and there's double check.
Right.
I think at the time, and I think we might still have the most pictures and photographs in our reports than any other home inspection company. And that's developed even over time, over the 15 years we've been doing this, where if we miss something once, we learn from that mistake. We now add things to our report. We add required pictures in the report so we can make sure we're documenting specific things to not make that mistake again. So we use every one of those misses at the time on it, which we do back with guarantees with our company. and make sure we take that as a learning experience, train our entire team, but we also put those things in place in our software systems and our reporting systems where we don't miss it again.
This is a level that's tough as a business person. This is a big commitment. It's tough. Here's the reality. There's hundreds of millions of buildings in this country that are aging and they're not intended to last this long. People think because they buy a building, it's supposed to last for as long as they want to use it. Well, the realities are they're already past its intended useful life.
That is so important. And I wish more real estate agents and homeowners would realize that as well. So yes. Not just the buildings that are built to last a certain age, but the building components as well. You know,
the roof doesn't last forever.
The water heater doesn't last forever. The furnace, even your electrical panels and systems have a limited lifespan. Yeah. We really try and educate them on that as well. We give information to them to let them know that, hey, here's the useful life of this. And we try and educate them during the inspection as well as in the report and continue to educate them afterwards with our newsletters that we send out and everything else, because we really have to let them understand that they furnace can't go out 6 years after they move in the house and, hey, you didn't tell me my furnace was going to go out 6 years from now.
Right.
And actually we did, because we told you the useful life of that furnace was 15 to 20 years. And we told you your furnace was 18 years at the time of your inspection. Yeah. And so we're trying to give them that knowledge where it's not a surprise if something does go out educate them more.
Yeah.
This is sort of going back to what we were talking about before, about setting standards. And I will say that Wade really does love a good SOP. It's always about creating systems and processes. And also with customer experience being at the core of everything that we do. So one of the things that we really strive for is reviews. And so we respond to every single review that we get. We have over 5,000 of them, which is pretty impressive. But really any negative review, he's the first one at 3 a.m. to forward that over to us before we even wake up in the morning. So we are on that review. So one person has a negative review and we've got a team of people that are, you know, activating to turn their experience around to really give them a positive experience with our company.
So you're in the marketing side. You're in the marketing side. And so Wade has this purpose and vision of doing the best he can in the inspection world. And he's putting that out there. Like all of us, we're competing with less than companies. We all do this, and I hate to say it, but we'll buy something cheaper because it looks the same, acts the same on initially. I don't care what you're buying. It's cheaper. Right. How often do we go, well, what's it cost? And that's the driving decision maker, right? And you're trying to market this brand where you're like, no, we do a quality job and this is what the amount of cost it takes to do a quality job for you. What's that like, marketing up against the less than?
I think we have so many good selling points and so much to offer. First and foremost, as we had talked about before, in Colorado, home inspectors do not have to be certified or licensed. So just the fact that every single one of our inspectors are either a certified professional or a certified master inspector, I think that sets us above and beyond anybody else. And then we can even just refer to our online reviews, you know, if you compare us against other companies, just the amount of reviews. And with almost 5,700 online reviews, our average rating is 4.89 out of 5, which is crazy, right?
Right.
And we just have a large team. So with timing being everything in real estate, having a large team allows us the flexibility to be able to help somebody out on the same day or the next day and really kind of get in front and be there when we're needed every single time. And then, you know, we also offer a large a menu of ancillary services. So it's one call versus having to involve multiple inspectors. So that, and also we have, you know, guarantees and warranties. So we really have it kind of covered all around. And then if somebody does still find a cheaper price for a comparable service, we will match it and then beat it by 10%. So we really try to give them no reason not to go with us.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating. Sometimes you take those calls, like you said, it almost commoditizes the home inspection.
It does.
The very first question is, how much is your home inspection? Very first question.
Yep.
First question. So we try not to answer that and let them know what they should be asking. And there's about 10 other questions they should be asking on the qualifications and experience and the tools you use that we use that others don't. And, you know, whether it's $12,000 sewer scope cameras or $17,000 lead analysis equipment and all the stuff that we do that others don't, but it's always, what's your price? And we've seen people go to another company for a $10, $20 difference in the price. And that's something we're trying to turn around in the industry, that, hey, there is a difference in a home inspector. We're not just another commodity. We're not the same. You're not buying the same home inspection. So trying to educate real estate agents as well as the consumers that there is a difference and you should be looking for the difference. That way you don't have those problems when you move in, or less. You may always have those problems, but it's also how you take care of those problems when they do call you. So we've got an exceptional customer service team. And Melissa was right. I still take every negative review that comes in personally to myself, that I did not do a good job. So that review comes in, it's on my company, it's on my name, and I didn't do something or I missed something. And so I do jump on those.
Right.
And I've made calls on a Sunday afternoon directly to that person to find out how we can make that experience better, where we can go back out there and look at it, analyze the problem, and see if we can make it right. And then we go back to the retraining. If it is something we missed, or we go through the explaining of the standards of practice, and we just further educate our own team as well as the consumer on each one of those.
Yeah. Hey, we got a white elephant in the room. Maybe the audience doesn't know. We do structural civil inspections as an engineering firm. I never wanted to do it. I still don't want to do it. But we get calls, and the industry wants these inspections, although it's very litigious, it's very risky. It's like, I can't see through the walls, Wade. I know you can't. And, you know, I can't see the foundations usually. And they want to know structurally or civil, they're like, is this 100%? You know, I don't want this business. I can't tell if it's 100%. I just can't. I can take general, is it moving? Am I seeing fractures? Has some previous owner hid something? I can do some things. But I will say that it is fascinating that the system is actually in conflict to me. I literally have this entity called, it's basically a council person entity that's real estate, a realtor, that's a counselor for the safe transaction of rights, property rights, the actual structures. You know, they're here for that. But they get paid a percentage of the sale. Well, inherently, is that a counselor? It's like, well, wait a minute. I only get paid if there's a closing, and I literally have realtors that will not work for us because we tell the truth, and they don't want us there because we hurt the deal. And I'm like, well, what is the purpose for, if you're a counselor for this transaction, your obligation is to properly inform the buyer and the seller as to what the situation is, but it's not happening.
No, and this is something we run into every day. It's like one of the only jobs that you have that you can be too good at or get yelled at by someone because you were too good. We found too many defects. We found too many wrong. And we, you know, you get labeled the deal killer.
Right.
When it's not us, we're stating facts of this is the condition of the home.
Yes.
And it really should be up to the counselor, to the real estate agent, to be able to negotiate that and either work out concessions or a new home or repairs or whatever needs to be there. And so we work a lot on education with real estate agents. There are many great real estate agents out there that do try and do counsel and do work through those that we've worked with for 15 years. But there are some of those in all industries, those bad apples, those certain ones that do want to push a deal through to get a commission check that say, yeah, just paint over that mold that they found down in the basement. So there are those out there, and we're trying to educate them and let them know that's not in their best interest either. And so we want to try, and we're careful. We train a lot on communication. So 50% of our job is locating the defects and finding all the defects for the client and the real estate agents. And 50% of our job is communicating those defects properly.
Yeah.
Not alarming. We can't sugarcoat it either. Otherwise, if they do have a big structural defect and their house falls down, but we want to communicate that and educate them. And that's why we take a lot of time. We have a very thorough report. It's longer than anyone else's, 80 to 100 pages, not 20 pages. And we do probably a 20 to 30 minute review person to person. Hopefully they're at the inspection where we can walk through every picture we take and discuss their home with them and let them ask questions and educate them if there's a problem. So that is half of our job, is to try and educate them so we're not labeled the deal killers, we're not blowing deals, and we're helping. We're really trying to be a partner with part of the deal and show them that. Unfortunately, we have to be the bearer of bad news and be the messenger on some of these items as
we go
through the house.
Though, I think we need to figure this out, because last year, and I know you experienced this, we haven't talked about this, me and you, but last year it was fascinating. The market was so hot. It was literally the realtors were recommending to on the seller side, just put it as is, no inspections. Where what you, I am not going to entertain an offer that if you're bringing an inspector. I mean, the phone basically stopped ringing in my office last year because the realtors were actually, it was so hot, they were getting 20 offers, 10%, 20% over asking, and they were waiving inspections. And now, you know what, my phone's ringing right now? Lawsuits. I have my forensics person going crazy busy with lawsuits, just suing realtors and suing the sellers over, I bought this thing and you didn't disclose it, and on and on. So now I've got all this backlash from not getting inspections, not knowing the information, and now they're suing.
Yep, and we're seeing the exact same thing in the home inspection industry nationwide. There's some markets right now where 80% of the homes are being sold without a home inspection. And this should be the responsibility.
80%
of the homes are being sold without a home inspection.
And we just talked about these hundreds of millions of buildings are past their useful life. And 80% of those
people are walking in without knowing at all the life expectancy of anything in the home or what the condition is. And you're right. Now it is coming back, and we're seeing it every day and stories every day of people that are finding the defects now. Now they're having the big problems and the cost. And it really is the responsibility of the real estate agents to, like I said, counsel, to talk to the buyers and the sellers. And they should be stressing this. You know, the sellers are doing it as well as the buyer agents are doing this. Of the buyer agents are saying, well, the seller is not going to accept your offer unless we take out this contingency of an inspection. So then that puts it back on the sellers of, why aren't the seller agents recommending to the sellers that, hey, this helps protect you as well, because they're supposed to be providing written disclosures on every inspection. And the inspection helps them as well, because now they can put off that liability on the home inspector that, hey, this is what I put on the disclosures, but they also had a third party home inspection company come in and check out everything. So they should have known, because they did their own due diligence. And so it really is both of those parties. And if they did work together, it would protect the seller and the buyer, because now what we are seeing is those lawsuits coming in, and it's not just the buyer and the buyer agent. It is the seller 100% of the time is on that lawsuit. And the seller's agent 100% of the time is on that lawsuit. And they also then bring in the buyer agent and the brokerage firms. And from time to time, even in the engineers and the appraisers, try to figure out whose fault it is.
Right.
And so we're really trying to educate agents right now and go out there and let them know the importance of this. You know, the other milestone in the real estate industry and the inspection industry was in 1984 in California was the first big lawsuit against a real estate agency.
Okay.
For not disclosing information on a home.
Okay.
So moved in. So that is really what got things stirred up and where the licensing started. So in 86 is when Texas first the first licensed state. So people kind of perked up and started saying that this is a need. And then the agents, the California Association of Realtors, CAR, came out, and that's when they really started recommending all of their real estate agents start recommending a home inspection. Because what that case said is that the realtors were responsible for not doing their own due diligence and assisting the sellers on disclosing
proper
the condition
counseling.
of that house.
Yeah, sure. I have a prediction, and I'm going to challenge your marketing team. So for me, if I look at it with this aged built world, and I go, okay, 80% of those aren't getting inspected, you said. They're aging. And you just said something that was interesting to me, was the sellers at risk for not getting a home inspection. Most sellers think that's actually detrimental to them to get an inspection, right? They're thinking, I don't want an inspector in here because they're going to devalue what I want to do to cash out. But actually, the risk is not getting it because they could get sued. And this is, the court systems are going to get full of these. Here's my prediction. The court system is going to get full of these lawsuits to the point where the legislators legislate that you have to get an inspection. They're just, it's just going to be too much. We're getting old in this country. We're getting old, and it's going to be more and more and more and more prevalent, especially if 80% of them aren't getting inspected. So should we be marketing, you guys? I'm going to point at myself. Should we be marketing to the seller saying, we're going to protect you? What do you think?
So that is a great idea. And we have been trying that for years.
Yeah.
So we have a product of pre-listing inspections and seller inspections. But we hear the exact same thing that you just said. I don't want to know what's wrong with my home to sell it. If I have to, you tell me what's wrong, I'm going to have to disclose that, and that's going to devalue my house or lower the price.
It's going to devalue my price.
Or if I know something's wrong, I'm going to have to fix it. Mm. We hear that from real estate agents. We hear that from the sellers. And so we used to do about 10% pre-listing seller inspections of our business. That's gone to zero, especially with the market the way it is right now. But with these lawsuits, it will help protect them. And at the time, it is a benefit to them to know what's wrong with their house. If it is something wrong, they have the chance to fix it or to at least disclose it. They can build that into the price of the house when they're pricing it and putting it on the market. So then the deals don't get killed when the home inspector comes in.
Is there an integrity issue here in our society? Where I'm going to make as much as I can. And if there's a problem, I'm going to pass it on to the next owner.
Or an intentional
one of these
ignorance.
Owners is going to get caught with a building that falls down, aka you, Wade. The last person that owns it loses.
And that is the case sometimes. And so it's almost like they want to stay ignorant of the facts, where they don't want to be educated, especially when they're selling on that side. But the blinders on. Yeah. Hey, if I don't know about it, I don't have to talk about it. And maybe the next person won't find out till after they move into the house and find out. And that's where the lawsuits, you were exactly right. We're reaching out now to homeowners and doing post-close inspections. So when they are starting to find stuff, we are starting to get calls. Hey, maybe I should get an inspection when that first problem happens. Mm-hmm. So now we're able to go back in and do it after close, but now it's too late if you find something major. It's still good for maintenance. It's still good for safety. A lot of people don't realize, I was talking to someone, we had a conference, I just flew back in yesterday from LA, and they were going in on these homes on looking at them, and they went back and spot checked every inspection that they did last month. And out of those, 20% of those had safety issues that's detrimental to the homeowners living in the house, like carbon monoxide,
sure,
leaks in the issues. Homes that would really need. And 90% of the inspections that they went back and looked at had electrical fire issues. So people don't realize the safety aspect of these homes as well. It's not always the cosmetic things of, oh, this is going to cost me money of hairline crack in the wall or dirty carpet.
Right.
But these are really safety things. If your flue pipe's disconnected in the wall or in the attic and pumping carbon monoxide in, that's a life and death type of situation there. The electrical, where you may think it's very simple, and we see it all the time, of a 57-cent cover plate not put on correctly. Mm-hmm. But when those splices spark inside your wall, then now there's an issue and there's a fire. And so these are all the things that we check, from the carbon monoxide detectors to the actual carbon monoxide and the fire detectors, as well as all the electrical and overloading of circuits and the old panels that catch on fire that have been there. Like you said, the aging of the systems that, you know, a lot of the homes here in Denver go back 150 years.
And so we've
still got original wiring in homes, the old knob and tube wiring that's cloth. That goes through the ceramic knob and tube that just laid through the attics in the walls of the home that could catch on fire just about any time.
Well, how many times have you been in an attic where you're like the flue from the furnace? It was a modern, maybe there was a heater replacement, fairly modern unit, but you go in the attic, it fell over. It's not even connected. It's just going into the attic.
All the time on older ones and new.
It's crazy.
So we do brand new home inspections as well on new construction.
Exactly.
And we find those on brand new ones as well. Like for some reason, this fell through or they forgot to come back and complete it at a certain time.
Yep.
Like a whole section was just missing. Like they stopped and had to run back to Home Depot and just forgot
to come back.
So all this stuff happens, and we're really the only ones who come in there and look at the house as a whole. Mm. Even the city inspectors, we get asked this all the time. Well, if it's a new house, how come the city inspector didn't inspect that? And they did, probably at some point in time during the building process. But they come in and they inspect one component of the home, because you have a city electrical inspector, a mechanical inspector, and a plumbing inspector. But they only look at it that one snapshot in time, and they're only one component. And their blinders really are on to everything else that's going on. We're probably the only one who comes in there and spends 3 hours on that home who puts it all together. And to make sure that the electrical is going in with the mechanical and HVAC properly. Mm-hmm.
The whole building inspecting industry, I ran a building department. I was a building official, and I ran, you know, public works director, city manager, or city engineer roles. And I will tell you this concept that the city or government should have, could have, would have caught things. Government's not properly funded for that activity. It's a very, very broad brush activity because taxpayers don't want to pay more taxes. So this assumption, I hear it too all the time, well, it was inspected. And then you hear these funny things like, well, these conversations about the building inspector actually just drove by and never stopped, and they're lazy. Well, it's not that at all. These are great human beings. If the public sector in general, when they're surveyed, 80% of them are driven by working for community. These are great. These are the right human beings working for government, but they are overworked and they can't get to it, and they don't have time to do it right. They don't have the funding to do it right. Even though they're motivated to serve their community, they just can't fulfill on these
things.
It's
more of the system in that part. We see many jobs as well with open permits. So there's no one in the back end even following up once with the permits being pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Did this actually get inspected by a city inspector?
Right.
So they're selling the house and there's five open permits still, where some people did the right thing. They hired a structural engineer. They designed the right design to fix.
But some.
Yes, not all of them, but they actually did this. And then they had the right contractor who then followed the engineer's report and built it. But then they never had the city inspector come back and close out that permit.
No.
And so that means no one's looking after the contractor after you give them a structural engineer, you know, the report of how it should be built. No one's checking to make sure it was actually built the correct way.
Well, and on top of that, a major city in Colorado, unnamed, the amount of money and time it takes to get a permit, most people are saying, no way. I'm not waiting a year for my permit. No way. I'm just going to do it.
Yep.
So there's lots of things.
We see basements added on, additions added on all the time with no permits.
Mm-hmm.
We actually try and pull permits on every one of our inspections to provide that to, once again, to educate the homeowner and the real estate agent. Hey, here's the permits that are here. So if you are looking at this house and we see an addition, we see a finished basement, we see a new electrical panel, we can cross check and see if that was done and inspected by a city official, which gives another layer of protection. Now, we're still going to fully inspect it the best we can. But a lot of times once things are covered, you can't see. You can't see through the walls once all the drywall is put up.
Nope.
Have no idea what the electrical looks like behind the walls or the mechanical ductwork or the plumbing.
Right.
So we are very limited on what we can see on finished homes.
How many of you, I got a bunch of people in the room, how many people have watched how, there's plenty of videos on the internet, how long a fire starts before it's deadly? How many of you have watched that video? There's hundreds of them, actually. So, yeah, zero. That's not surprising to me. So after this, if you want to really get motivated about this inspection activity or the life safety issue of what our work, get on the internet and watch fires where they monitor temperature, smoke, and how long it takes. And I will tell you, you have about 2 minutes from when a fire starts to you're actually not going to survive it in a home. It's absolutely fascinating. So what we do is important. What we do is very important, but we got a big gap in knowledge between what we do, why we do it, and how it affects them monetarily, safety-wise. And we have these, I think, Wade, we have these counter forces working against us. If I just listen to you and I look at you that you've in this industry that's elevating the business, a nonprofit, this is all public safety stuff. And we have these counter forces to this effort. So protecting your property values before you buy it, your safety of yourself and your family in these things. And there's these counter forces acting against it. I'd love to hear your parting thoughts and maybe your group on how we market this. How do we actually educate? How do we get it further along against these counter forces of making money off of the next victim? Anya, my co-founder, talks about this a lot. Actually, we talked about it yesterday, is how do you get to the point where somebody commits such a huge fraud or theft against somebody else? How did that get there? And Anya would say, it's a process for us. You steal a pen from your company and nothing happened. The brain wants to go or has to go, I stole a pen. The brain can't hang out with the idea that that was not okay. So the brain resolves itself that actually I worked hard, I worked an extra 5 minutes, so therefore the brain resolves it and goes, okay, well, I filled up the gas tank on my truck on the company card. That's the next one. Oh, I actually know I had a foundation in my house that has a $250,000 problem. I'm going to sell it, not disclose it, and give it to somebody else. And there's a society issue here too that we have to work on. The transmission is going on in my car. Sell it. Well, who's buying it?
Yeah, that's the whole used car.
Buying it. Yeah.
Car salesman issue there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and really we have to get away from it just being a financial decision, which, by the way, home inspection is not a huge financial commitment you're buying the price of our houses these days. And it really is a health and safety issue. And we really are saving lives one home inspection at a time.
You are.
And if we get back to that, these are the things we are doing for safety, and they realize that. Like, I have a bad habit of inspecting places that I stay. So short-term rentals, hotels.
Right.
And you just be amazed on those when you find that and you see that the smoke detectors aren't working or the electrical outlet pulls out of the wall next to the sink as you're sitting there in the bathroom.
Right.
Or the spindles on the stairs, when I grab them, they just push loose like a small child would fall from the second story.
Mm-hmm.
And we see those every day in my normal life of just going through homes, as well as every day in the inspection world.
Mm-hmm.
And those types of things are what we're pointing out to homeowners. So it's not just, we're going to forgo a home inspection because I can't negotiate the price on this home and the seller's not going to fix anything anyway.
Right.
So why should I do it?
Good question.
We should be doing this so we can make sure that we're buying a safe home for our family.
There you go.
And want to make sure that there's no catastrophic things wrong with the home, like the structure or something, that they're moving in and they put their whole life savings into it, and now it's inhabitable because of something large.
Right.
So we're there to help all the home buyers on that, and we're there to help the real estate agents as well navigate this and help their clients so they don't get stuck in that home. And it hasn't happened yet, thank goodness, but someone is going to die in a home that they didn't get inspected. And then that might spur the change that you talked about of either with government regulating it or with the banks regulating it or with the real estate agent associations regulating it. And a lot of times that's to protect themselves, but the end result is also protecting the consumer and the buyer at that same time.
Yeah.
You know, it took that, where was it? Here in Colorado a few years ago, where the whole family died in the ski condo due to carbon monoxide before they passed the law that every home has to have carbon monoxide detectors.
Yep.
And if you sell a home, then you have to check for that.
Yep.
So we never want that to happen, but unfortunately those things do happen. And that's when people perk up and decide something's important. So we're trying to educate people before that happens and really step in there and do our job to help everyone move into a healthy and safe home.
Yep. Yep. I want to make one caveat, and then I'm going to have the marketing team, your group, speak to all this too on the parting. But I have one thing to say. Contractors are not evil. I'm a contractor too, and I will tell you, finding quality, talented tradespeople right now is impossible. And we're asking them to build things, and they're, the talent's not there. And it's such a big struggle right now for contractors to get things right. It doesn't make the contractor or the builder evil. They're just really struggling with good tradespeople. So it's just a struggle all the way around to get the built world right now. And I just want to be careful that we're not making that wrong in our conversations. We're not making the building departments wrong, the government's wrong, the contractors wrong. It's just really, really a struggle in the built world environment to get things right. It's tough. It's the hardest industry in the country. I've done a lot of things in my life. This is the hardest thing to do, is to build things right. It's difficult. It's very challenging.
Well, that just brings the more importance to the inspection process and the systems to put in place to prevent something from happening.
Know your environment.
Because of what they're having to deal with. And if they do hire the labor that's not as skilled as it used to be, then it's more important to check behind that and make sure it's done correctly. And when they don't do it, or foremen don't do it, or builders, you know, they're busy as well. And we, like I said, we do phase inspections, we do pre-drywall inspections, draw inspections for banks, and we see the same thing. So yes, if you're having to hire people without those checks and balances, that's when something bad happens.
Absolutely.
So it's even more important to pay for the quality control aspect of things. But we've got to get to the right people and let them know how important that is, whether it is the builders, whether it's the general contractors, hiring the subcontractors, the real estate agents, the banks, the government, whoever we need to help educate and make sure that this is a priority and that we can't just throw up houses in 6 weeks and expect them to function properly.
Right. Parting words, you guys. Words of wisdom. This isn't going away. The importance. Did you learn anything, marketing department? Do you want to market differently?
Yeah, actually, I mean, just I always learn something when Wade speaks. It's really fascinating. So it was really great. All of us are pretty new to this industry specifically. So it was really great to hear the history and how it all came about. But really, I mean, I think from a marketing perspective, it really is sort of pivoting and focusing on sort of like the health and maintenance and, you know, keeping people safe. And rather than just protecting your investment, protect yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Protect yourselves, right? My parting words is, everybody watch a fire video and then decide whether you want inspections next time. I think we're going to have more of these. I'd love to have more of these with you, more specific.
Oh, definitely. I think there's so much more we can talk about and help educate everyone on.
Yep. Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.
This podcast is in part of Foundation for Open Conversation regarding the A&E industry. In future episodes, we'll discuss the realities of the industry today and what the future may look like. It is our belief that positive changes for architects and engineers is not the obligation of the industry, but rather your choice to reimagine how we work together. we invite you to join us in creating a world in which design professionals thrive. Get involved by joining our email newsletter, where you'll get information not found anywhere else. Go to leveldesignpartners.com to sign up. If you found value in this episode, support us by sharing it with someone or leaving a review. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll talk to you next time.